Chapter 21. But if the executive and the legislators wish to assure themselves, like Ida and Bob Baker's, that they have some right on their side, they need not turn back to the Virginius incident. There are reasons enough today to justify their action, if it is to be their intellects, and not their feelings, that must move them to act. American property has been destroyed by Spanish troops to the amount of many millions, and no answer made to demands of the State Department for an explanation. American citizens have been imprisoned and shot, some without a trial, some in front of their own domiciles, and American vessels are turned over to the uses of the Spanish secret police. These would seem to be sufficient reasons for interfering. But why should we not go a step farther, and a step higher, and interfere in the name of humanity? Not because we are Americans, but because we are human beings, and because, within 80 miles of our coast, Spanish officials are killing men and women as wantonly as though they were field mice, not in battle, but in cold blood, cutting them down in the open roads, at the wells to which they have gone for water, or on their farms, where they have stolen away, to dig up a few potatoes, having first run the gauntlets of the forts, and risked their lives to obtain them. This is not an imaginary state of affairs, nor are these supposititious cases. I am writing only of the things I have heard from my witnesses, and of some of the things that I have seen. President Cleveland declared in his message to Congress, when the inability of Spain to deal successfully with the insurgents has become manifest, and it is demonstrated that her sovereignty is extinct in Cuba for all purposes of its rightful existence, and when a hopeless struggle for its re-establishment has degenerated into a strife which is nothing more than the useless sacrifice of human life, and the utter destruction of the very subject matter of the conflict, a situation will be presented in which our obligations to the sovereignty of Spain will be superseded by higher obligations, which we can hardly hesitate to recognize and discharge. These conditions are now manifest. A hopeless struggle for sovereignty has degenerated into a strife which means not the useless, but the wanton sacrifice of human life, and the utter destruction of the subject matter of the conflict. What further manifestations are needed? Is it that the American people doubt the sources from which their information comes? They are the consuls all over the island of Cuba. For what voice crying in the wilderness are they still waiting? What will convince them that the time has come? If the United States is to interfere in this matter, she should do so at once, but she should only do so after she has informed herself thoroughly concerning it. She should not act on the reports of the Hotel Piazza correspondents, but send men to Cuba on whose judgment and common sense she can rely. General Fitzhugh Lee is one of these men, and there is no better informed American on Cuban matters than he, nor one who sees more clearly the course which our government should pursue. Through the consuls all over the island, he is in touch with every part of it, and in daily touch, but incidents which are frightfully true there seem exaggerated and overdrawn, when a typewritten description of them reaches the calm corridors of the State Department. More men like Lee should go to Cuba to inform themselves, not men who will stop in Havana and pick up the gossip of the Hotel Inglaterra, but who will go out into the cities and sugar plantations and talk to the consuls and merchants and planters, both Spanish and American, who can see for themselves the houses burning and the smoke arising from every point of the landscape, who can see the bodies of asificos brought into the cities, and who can sit on a porch of an American planter's house, and hear him tell in a whisper how his sugar cane was set on fire by the same Spanish soldiers who surround the house, and who are supposed to guard his property, but who, in reality, are there to keep a watch on him. He should hear little children, born of American parents, come into the consulate, and ask for a piece of bread. He should see the children and the women herded in the towns, or walking the streets in long processions, with the mayor at their head, begging his fellow Spaniards to give them food, the children covered with the red blotches of smallpox, and the women gone with yellow fever. He should see hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of machinery standing idle, covered with rust and dirt, or lying twisted and broken under fallen walls. He will learn that, while 156 vessels came into the port of Matanzas in 1894, only 88 came in 1895, and that but 16 touched there in 1896, and that while the export of sugar from that port to the United States in 1894 amounted to $11 million, in 1895 it sank to $8 million, and in 1896 it did not reach 1 million. I copied these figures one morning from the consular books, and that loss of $10 million in 2 years in one little port is but a sample of the facts that show what chaos this war is working. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.